That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Bring us in, babe.
Welcome to
Coco Caliente. And speaking of Coco Caliente, well, I guess not Coco Caliente. I'm having my coffee caliente. I'm having my hot coffee this morning.
Yes, you are. And blueberry it tastes very coffee. Good.
Blueberry. You know, they have
blueberry
this.
Blueberry coffee is our favorite.
It's our jam. It really is. And there's this place in Lansing here in Michigan. It's called Horrocks. Right. Mm-hmm. Is that how you pronounce that?
I think
that?
So.
And it's like a, I don't know. The thing is, I could say Mennonite store and maybe people here would understand that. But like,
are you saying that?
I'm trying to describe like what Horrocks is. Horrocks is it's a really big store. But the only way I could describe it really is saying a Mennonite store. But a lot of people listening may not know what Mennonites are. It's basically a lifestyle, way of life that, you know, it's like Amish. It's around here and they're very all natural. And it's all fresh food straight mm-hmm. from the farm. And so they have a store over here that Nicole, she goes to all the time. And that's where she'll get our produce or mm-hmm. meat for me or any like natural products.
They actually carry a lot of vegan stuff too, which is really cool. I just bought a bunch of like butter, cream cheese, which you can't even get at the Walmart that's like around here.
Yeah. Well, and so Horrocks is like that store, like those little mom and pop, Amish shop on steroids. It's massive.
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
So cool. I mean, if you ever get a chance, if you're ever in Michigan or in that area, I don't know, Horrocks is the way to go. And they have like 1,000 different craft beers in there. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, they have it. They literally have everything.
I mean, yeah. Anyway, and that's the coffee that I'm enjoying this morning. And we're about to run out. And that's what made me think about it.
We started, with blueberry coffee and Frankenmuth. Really, any blueberry coffee, I think, is terrific. I don't know.
It tastes so good. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening with us this morning. I hope my voice soothes your ride from wherever you're going. Maybe Nicole's not so much.
Shut up. Dude, it's out of control about people talking about my voice. We'll get into that later.
I'm kidding. I love your
voice.
No.
No one says anything about it on the podcast, but...
Like in general, like on the show or something?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll get into that later. But first, what did you want to hop in and talk about,
baby?
Well,
I think it's really cool because Ubly, our small village of 841 people, just got a Dollar General.
Yes.
And so when we walk into the Dollar General, everybody is so happy. It's like Christmas because we have bread readily available, pasta sauce, noodles. I mean, there's groceries, there's stationery stuff, there's medications.
I'll say this, a lot of people will not be able to relate to what we're talking to. So I just want to give you like a picture because here, if we want to go to Walmart, we have to go at least 15 or 20 minutes.
Which is miles. So if you say
15, 20 miles.
If you say 15, 20 minutes to some people, that's like a mile, could be a mile or two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about 15 miles.
It's about 15 miles from us.
Yeah.
And that's where we have the closest everything, right? But then the mall, and if you're talking Starbucks or whatever, mm-hmm. that's an hour and a half, 2 hours away. The only thing we have in our town is two gas stations, and which is a convenience store, but it's
not
super.
Really.
But you know what I mean? And convenience in the price, right? Everything's jacked up. You know, you want bread, that's $5. You want milk, oh my gosh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not, and it's, it's just frustrating sometimes, right? Because if you leave Bad Axe, the closest like mm-hmm. Walmart area, and then you're like, oh man, I forgot something.
And then you can't make dinner.
It's like, I'm not going to drive all the way back. It's very depressing. So this Dollar General was being built and everybody was all excited. And now it opened up and it's like, oh.
It's so crazy because I was just thinking how excited I am for this Dollar General, and it sounds so pathetic, but like you really appreciate what you don't have, what you're not used to. And like, I know a lot of people are used to having everything at their fingertips. Like they have options. They have Meijer, Walgreens, Walmart, whatever. We don't have any of that.
Yeah. And for us, we would love like Walmart is Walmart, right? They're like taking over everywhere. And there's an argument that, yeah, they bring jobs in, yeah. But at the same time, they slash prices. And so it takes away a lot from the mom and pop businesses, yeah. Which I don't like, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that. But we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice where we live.
There's no competitor.
There's no competitor. If we had
we
like
are building a Meijer, though.
Yes, we wanted
but
to.
But I don't know how long that will take.
Exactly. So if we had like a Whole Foods or a Horrocks or something
oh
like that
gosh,
right
if
next
we had
to.
Whole Foods, I would be there every single day.
I'd spend all my money there, you know? And but we just don't have that option. So something as simple as a little Dollar General in our town yeah. is like, wow, this is amazing. And it's not, I don't
I
know.
I bought if, a lamp there because I'm like, I need to support them. They need to stay around.
It's not like a Dollar Tree or we're not just going over there to buy like a cup or like some wrapping paper.
Yeah, so Dollar General is different than Dollar Tree. Yeah, I just recently learned the difference. Victor had taught me the difference because by his old work, there was a Dollar General and he would come home with like, not everything's a dollar. So like the lamp I bought was like $12. So
yeah, they have nice things
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they do.
And they have all like, if you need something for your lawn or your car or you need, you know, gift cards.
They have Pedialyte. They have
chips. I mean,
NyQuil, DayQuil. They have some clothes.
Guys, we are not sponsored no. by Dollar General. Let me just tell you
I
that.
Wish, no.
And you can hear the excitement in our voices because you drive through our town and you might not even see it when you pass through. Mm-hmm. And there's a Dollar General here and we're so happy.
We're moving up in the world.
I know. Little strides that make a big difference.
I just hope it stays around. Because we have had like a little mini IGA and like
IGA?
Yeah, it's a grocery store.
Okay.
And then, but then we used to have like a mom and pop grocery store, which we loved. It was called Chapin's. And mm-hmm. so that closed because the IGA kind of took over and then the IGA couldn't hang. So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah. So getting in shape is not just about finding a good workout plan and doing it for like 30 days mm-hmm. and dropping it, right?
Right.
Noom is an app, right? And basically what it does, it helps you break these bad habits mm-hmm. because yeah, they give you workout plans, but more importantly, they help you learn your relationship with food. They have goal specialists and the Noom community that'll help you learn to make better choices and get you in better move, give you self-worth, mm-hmm. control your stress and anxiety. And so they also have the biggest and most accurate food databases available, and it lets you track your meal habits and visualize portion sizes, see calorie density at a glance,
wow.
and you can chat with the goal specialist and that, you know, to give help to people going through the same thing.
Yeah.
So you're in this community of people and you have specialists that'll help you get through it. Not only just the workouts, mm-hmm. but figure out your relationship with food. And they're not telling you not what's good. They're not saying like, oh, this food is good, this food is bad, and you can't do this.
Right. Nothing's off limits.
It's teaching you moderation.
Right.
And how to be long-term healthy.
Yeah.
So you don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. So sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com.
Noom.
Oh, yes. At Noom, Noom.com/Coco. Sorry, I can be a little dyslexic, so I'll say it again. You can sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/Coco. Start the free trial today. The last weight loss program you'll ever need.
Victor, he had to go to Walmart yesterday because he had to get like his oil changed and stuff.
Yep.
So there is reasons why we still, like, but we stopped at Dollar General and he bought what he could there for what he needed so we
yeah.
can support them.
And he's like, hey, let's just stop on the way there. Maybe I can get some things that I need there. You know, give him a couple. Because I was reading, and I think I told you this, Nicole. So like those stores, I don't know if it was like Dollar General or Dollar Tree or something like that.
Dollar Tree. We're
Dollar
talking
Tree.
About you have to buy X amount of things to
yeah,
make a dollar.
They have to sell or at least like 13 items to make, I don't know, like it's something minuscule, amount of
that's
money.
That's the dollar store where everything's a dollar, though.
Yeah, and they have, and so what they do is they just have to get you in the door, and once they get you in the door, they're hoping to sell you enough things to make some money off of you. But if you just buy like two things, mm-hmm. three things, they're not making any money off of you.
And also this Dollar General, so the prices aren't cheaper than they are at Walmart.
Yeah, like, you said like they're like 15 cents.
Yeah, so they're like 15 cents more at least on each thing, but it's convenient, so we don't care. You know, you don't got to drive. You got to drive a minute, not 15.
The moral of the story.
Yeah.
Appreciate everything that you guys have around you mm-hmm. right now that you think you might not have options,
right.
but you really don't know what not having options is mm-hmm. until you come visit us in our town of Ubley. And then you're like, hey, where can I get my car detailed and washed? It's like, well, that doesn't exist.
You can't
sorry.
Get a nice coffee around here.
No,
like,
you cannot.
You can't. It's yeah. So just appreciate what you have. And it was actually really nice to, at that moment, I was like, wow, I'm really appreciating this. And like, it was just a weird feeling because it's a Dollar General.
Yeah. If you guys, are ever interested in getting a little humbled, come visit us in our little village and you'll get to play games, do some bag toss. Maybe
we bought badminton yesterday.
We bought an easy set of badminton that we're excited for. Yeah. But this is a cool place. Like we really get to know each other and we really enjoy the outdoors mm-hmm. and we don't get so caught up in.
And we can't spend money really even if we wanted to. I kind of like that. Like we can't waste money at happy hour because there's no such thing.
Yeah.
We can't waste money on sushi and sangria because there's no such thing.
Also, happy hour is always because beers here
cheap.
Aren't $5 a piece. It's like $2.
$2.75.
Yeah, $3, you know. And so mm-hmm. That's one of the perks about living where we live. And
we can save a lot of money.
We save a lot. And so we can also travel when we want to because mm-hmm. we were able to save up.
Yeah.
So we're there.
It's like, yeah, we don't have the pressure of like hanging out and going out.
All the time.
And doing like
during
trivia.
The week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all these things because, which it would be really cool because sometimes we want to do those things. But we can't waste our money on nonsense.
And this is not to say that the person that lives in the city and does all these things, I'm not knocking you down.
No.
We just don't have that luxury, right?
Right.
We're in a place that doesn't afford us that luxury, so we're making the best out of the situation that we're in right now, which for us has been great. And then
yeah,
so when we do go,
well,
what I'm saying
yeah.
is when we do go mm-hmm. and travel, let's say to a city or something, we're like, oh, let's do this and let's go do
we
that.
Think
and let's
everything
try.
Is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, we're like as if we have never seen like a hipster, you know, restaurant or anything that's vegan. I'm like, we're taking full advantage.
Like
and,
when we went, what it was in,
Colorado?
In Canada. When we went and saw Paul and he was performing at, you mm-hmm. know, wherever. And then he told us to go to this one, like,
restaurant
bar.
Yeah, that was
and it didn't
cool.
even have a sign on it. And it was, like, inside a house.
Yeah, that was
and
awesome.
And place was, like, popping.
Mm-hmm. That was really, really cool. So, yeah, we're just, like, we think everything's awesome.
We're not difficult to entertain. Let's say that. We're not big fans of large crowds. That's pretty much our only stipulation.
And really loud music isn't my thing either.
Well, you like to go to like a country festival.
Oh, if it's
or
country,
country
it can be as loud as you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, yeah. So
just not like the club. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, yeah. I took Nicole, when she came the last time.
I still can't believe I survived that moment. I think back on it all the time. I handled that like a pro.
So let me set the scene for you guys. I'm back home. We're in Louisiana. And I went to go out with my buddies, and these are my buddies that I never get to see, right? Because I don't live in Louisiana anymore. And one of them just so happened to be back in from, I think he lives in Virginia now. And we're all hanging out, and we're walking through downtown New Orleans, and I think we went to Frenchman Street instead of Bourbon Street because Bourbon Street's too crazy. What we didn't account for is that's when they had Jazz Fest. Jazz Fest was right in the middle of when we were there, and so Frenchman Street, it was packed. I mean, walking outside was like walking on the inside of a club. Like you had to like squeeze through people and trying to wiggle your way through. And then so we walked into this bar, and I'm telling you, you couldn't walk 2 feet.
And
you were walking like inches. You were like shuffling
I've
inches to get through.
I've never been so crowded in my life. And I wasn't drinking either. So I couldn't like, it was just like,
Nicole
taking
was getting
it all in.
I mean, it took us like 5 minutes to get maybe like 4 feet in. And then I look at my buddies and I look back at Nicole and I'm like, all right, no, let's turn around.
I'm like, thank God he said that.
But Nicole was being a troop because she knew that I don't get to see my friends. Yeah. So she was just letting me have a good time.
Out,
and so that was fun. But anyway, we got really off topic.
Yeah, this is so random. This is such a random podcast. Should we cut all this?
No, we should not. This is great. But I know you have something that you want to talk about.
Well, I think that a good topic to talk about would be how handling criticism, how you handle it and how mm-hmm. I handle it, how people should handle it. Or like our opinions on that.
Which ties into, I guess, what we were talking about at the beginning is your voice.
Well, yeah. You don't know this, but I defended myself. He hates when I defend myself. So a couple days ago, somebody wrote on like, you know how CBS has that thing going around? It's like, Nicole's a winner in real life, but would she be part of your BB dream cast?
Okay.
Okay, so my picture's on there.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh.
I'm not on social media as much. If nobody's noticed, that's like, true. I never post, so.
Well, it pops up, okay? Mm-hmm. And so then you get all these people. I'm not asking for this attention. Like, I'm not posting if I'm in your dream cast, okay? CBS is doing this. And then you get people that are like, yeah. And I wrote yes. Like, yes, exclamation point, just mm-hmm. to be funny. And then some people are like, yeah, yeah, love you, love you. And then there's people that are like, let's just not sit here and pretend that she actually played a good game.
Oh.
And so then this guy is arguing with everyone who said something nice with me. And so I'm just like mad at this guy because he's going out of his way. So I commented back to him.
Oh, here we go.
And
what'd
I was,
you say?
Okay, do you want me to read it?
Yeah, I want you. I mean, if it's going to take you like 10 minutes to find it, then no. But
okay.
Give me the gist of
so
what
the
you
gist
said.
Of it was basically he was saying I didn't play a good game. And I said, actually, I did play a good game. You might not know what a good game is. You might know what a good edit is. But my mind never sat and never floated. I was constantly playing mind games. I said, how do you think I got Michelle to put up two of her own alliance members, which was you and Paul, and not put me up as a replacement?
Yeah.
I didn't even get put up because I played mind games. I worked. And all she hated my guts. So why wouldn't she put me up?
Yeah.
And you know why she didn't? Because I got up and curled my hair that morning and said, I'm ready to go up. And that pissed her off. So she didn't put me up. So it's little things like that. And then I also said, I love Paul. Paul's one of our best friends. But I said, you know, because Paul was robbed is a thing. Well, I said, I didn't have Victor to go out. Oops. What's
ooh,
that?
Oh, that's my alarm. Sorry.
I said, I didn't have Victor to go out for me three times.
Mm-hmm.
You took, people don't realize that, but you took the hit because you were a bigger target than Paul.
Oh, for sure.
And you took the hit for him three times.
Yeah.
I didn't sit on the block until Final Four, and I didn't have someone going out for me three times. So it is criticism on my game because I actually worked hard, and I can't help that Paul was an aggressive player and, you know, I just kind of worked more behind the scenes.
So
I handled that by being like aggressive and being like, no, I played a good game, but I'm not going to convince this guy. It's a waste of time. He already made up his mind. So you can't convince people what you are and what you aren't. You just have to let it go. But I just felt like I needed to defend my game.
What Nicole just did just there, that long-winded response to somebody online that she doesn't know that lives somewhere that we don't even care about, it was an unnecessary use of energy.
I don't do it much.
For me, it's like, wow, did you just really go in for, like, what I tell Nicole all the time is, do you know that person, one? Two, do you care about that person's opinion?
No, but they're spewing hate on me.
It doesn't matter. Who cares?
I'm not really used to getting that much hate, so I think it hurts when I do.
Well, the thing is, and this is the caveat for me. This is how I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You started by saying you got a lot of love, and a lot of people were saying yes, and yeah, of course, Nicole, whatever. The amount of people that said positive things to the amount of people that said negative things, they don't compare. You know what I mean?
No, I get that.
And even if the tables were turned and there was more people saying bad things than positive things, you still have the people that love you. And those are the people that you should care about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I don't even care. Like, if you guys didn't notice on the last post, my head shaved. It's gone. Hair is gone. What did I get a lot of? Where'd your hair go? Oh, my God. Your locks. You got to grow your hair. I don't care. You could... I want my hair how I want my hair. You can't tell me otherwise.
So the difference between us is you could say anything to Victor and it will not ruin his day. You can say the meanest thing to me. Just like, okay, so some other comments on that post was, if I have to hear her voice again on another season, I'm done. And I've been watching since season one. So I said hashtag harsh.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway, so like that will ruin my day.
Yeah, it
will. That's the difference between us and letting you haters know. Haters might not be listening, but they might.
Yeah.
Like letting them know that this ruins my day is probably not a good thing either.
It's fuel for the fire for sure. And for me, I mean, I think people have been saying this since Cat Williams. I don't know if you know Cat Williams. He said this on his comedy show years ago. Mm-hmm. And he's like, every year you should be trying to increase your hater count, because increasing your hater count means you're doing something right and making other people jealous because you're doing so good.
Okay. So yeah, my haters are jealous. Your haters are jealous because we're not. So this is what I had a couple sips of coffee this morning. Maybe this is why.
You're having coffee again.
I just tried yours. I tested yours.
It's good though, huh?
Yeah, it's good.
I like it.
So fall's right around the corner and I'm super excited. And that means cute pants. I mean, that's what I think it means. Sweaters and pants. And a place that I love to get my pants is Betta Brand. So what it is, it's like yoga work pants.
Yeah, it's your dress pant yoga pants.
Yeah, so they look like dress pants, but they feel like yoga pants. Vic really likes when I wear mine because I wear them to church and stuff too.
And they look really good. And you couldn't even tell they're yoga pants.
No, you cannot. They have like some of them have up to 8 pockets, so you don't even need a purse. There's different tastes for you. There's like boot cut, straight leg, skinny, cropped. I got like the skinny ones that were limited edition colors. So I always get like the wacky patterns and stuff, but there's black, navy, gray, khaki. So whatever you like, they have something for you and they're very comfortable. And I hate when I have to unbutton my pants because they're too tight.
And what's cool is shoppers can vote for designs to become crowdfunding projects for the site, which is actually pretty neat.
Yes, that's awesome. And it was hard to choose from the huge selection, but I love every single pair that I got. And yes, I received so many compliments on them, especially from Victor. So that's why I started wearing them even more, is because I feel comfortable in them. They look good. Everything's covered up, which is what I like. Mm-hmm. So visit bettabrand.com/coco, all lowercase, to get 20% off yours. Millions of women agree these are the most comfortable pants you'll ever wear to work. That's bettabrand.com, BETABRAND.com/coco, all lowercase, to get 20% off your dress yoga pants. So I think that people, our haters, have to be a little jealous of us because we don't live in LA trying to be models and trying to be actors, trying to be in our bathing suits, like, look at how awesome we are. That's not like, and I'm not saying people who do that are bad. I'm saying we're not even asking for that type of attention.
Yeah.
We live in a tiny town. We mind our business. Mm-hmm. We have a podcast and we don't like say, look at us. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So that's when I have to sit down and really think about it, is like, why are these people, even people who are former reality TV people, some people cling together because they all have something in common. You're looking at me like I'm going too far.
No. And right. I tell Nicole that all the time. I mean, there's groups of people that mm-hmm. maybe feel that we don't want to be part of their group because we're too good for them, when that's not the case. It's just, you know, I'm only friends with like 5 people.
Yeah, it's just like, so I'm saying it's not like we go out. I get if we had haters, if we said mean things about people, mm-hmm. went out of our way to talk mean about people. Even when somebody says something mean to us, we don't fight on Twitter.
No, not at all. Never.
We do not argue on Twitter. There's Twitter fights every single day. And we don't feed into that. And nope. So I could get it if we caused this huge turmoil, or we said something offensive, or you were America's favorite player. It's like, it's hilarious that people hate us just because we're us in a small town and have a house.
And we're together and we live our own life. Yeah.
And so handling that criticism is hard for me because it's like, I didn't do anything. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, it's jealousy, and that has to be flattering because I have something that you want, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And you're right. You're right. And it's just really about handling that criticism, because then in a situation like that, we're just a small speck of that, right? Yeah. If you think about the people that are actually famous and how much crap they get all the time.
But I don't
you know?
Think that it bothers them as much because they don't still have to work normal jobs. You know what I mean? Like, I think if you're super famous, they don't even have to have like an Instagram because well, they're making like, money as actors and actresses. They don't have to share their life. Well, whereas still, that's like, my job. Is
Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell, they still hate the haters. Kristen yeah. Bell talks about that. She's yeah. uber famous.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
She gets, and that's weird that she gets them because she's such a good person.
Exactly. There's people like that everywhere. They yeah. they have this crazy following or these crazy accolades, and they still get hate all the time. And I'm telling you, it's the most cleansing thing, and I feel like I have gotten there to not care. I mean, if I see something hateful on my feed, which I hardly ever post, right? I'll just delete it and block that person, and I don't even think twice about it. I just don't want it there, you know, yeah. ruining the vibe. And I'm just like, oh, okay, well, you just gave me a reason, and you know, and I don't have to respond back, nothing, and it feels great.
Yeah, and
it took me a while to get there. Yeah, I will say that it took me a while to get there.
Okay, so at first it didn't bother me. After 16 and after 18, it didn't really bother me. Now it's starting to bother me, I think, because it's been 5 years and people are still still saying mean things. So I'm just like, and Jeff Schroeder talked about that on our podcast too. Yeah. Like whenever Big Brother season comes up, people just, I don't know, they get like, they want to spew hate for no reason. So me actually standing up for myself is new. It really is new.
Yeah. And does it make you feel better?
Like sometimes.
Is it like a therapy of sorts?
I don't
to
ever
do that? Or
be...
does it wait, is it that you do it and you feel better every time therapy, or do you do it and you're sometimes like, all right, maybe I shouldn't have done
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'd say that maybe I shouldn't have yeah. done that because I don't need to do that.
And so is that, so I'm just gonna talk this through. Is that healthy for you?
No.
And have you gained anything from doing that?
I do feel a little refreshed sticking up for my game because I don't feel like it gets enough credit. But as far as personal voice attacks and things like that, no, that doesn't make me feel better because I'm drawing attention to their mean comment, first of
yeah.
all. And I'm letting them know it bugged me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm trying to defend something I can't change.
Exactly. And when I always go back to, for me, it's like, I only have, and I say this all the time, I'm just hitting the same statement over and over again, but I only have like 5 friends, right? And I have you and your family and my family.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only opinions I care about. If I'm doing something to offend yeah. or make your family feel bad, my family and my close friends,
yeah.
then that's a cause for reflection for mm-hmm. myself. Anybody else outside that circle, mm-hmm. I could care less about. I mean, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything yeah. society deems as wrong, derogatory, nothing like that.
Right.
I am myself and I try to be the best person I can be. And if I'm not doing anything that does anything negative,
yeah.
why do you dislike me?
I mean, I wish I could be like that. I'm way too sensitive, and I'll admit yeah. that I'm very, very sensitive. So
well,
it just comes with that. And I also, being sensitive, I think is really, sometimes I'm just like, oh, I wish I'm not so sensitive. But being sensitive is a good thing because I feel like that's how I can read people better. I would never treat someone or say something to someone that would make me feel even a little bit type of way.
Yeah.
Like being sensitive helps me treat other people better. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And I will say that we are both still young, right?
Yeah, we got a lot of learning.
We have a lot of learning and growing to do.
Yeah.
And I think there's parts of, there's different aspects of my life where you are more mature than I am. And in this respect, I am more mature than you are for this thing. You
yeah,
get what I'm saying?
I don't know if I'll ever mature to the point of not caring, though.
Well, it's not, I mean, it's...
Being able to brush it off.
Exactly. It's human to care.
Yeah.
Like, I say I don't care, but yeah, obviously sometimes you're like, man, that, why would somebody say something like that? But I don't let it bug me for the whole day.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think you'll get to a point where you'll mature out of that. And like
I mean,
I said,
then I'll have to worry about what people say about my kids, and then it's going to get me way more fired up. Like, I feel like it's never going to end.
Well, that, you know, that I don't know how I will react to.
Yeah.
When it's me, it's one thing, right? When it's
my
child.
Because if someone says something about your mom or my mom, it's like you get fired up.
Yeah, well, yes and no. And I think, you know, I don't know.
You're the chill to my crazy psychoness.
No, you're not psycho. I wouldn't use that word at all.
I use psycho like very like loosely. Yeah, you very. So you, to my I don't want to say anxiety. To my what? I'm like.
I don't know what that was, but that.
You know what I mean?
Anyway.
So vitamins are really important. And I just kind of learned that on my own from not taking vitamins.
Yep.
So something that I did a while ago is I took a Care of online quiz. It asks about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle choices. And it only takes 5 minutes for it to figure out scientifically what you're lacking. Well, what's funny is magnesium was on there and then vitamin D. And that's something that the doctor had just prescribed me a couple weeks ago. And
isn't
I was
that
like,
crazy?
Had I kept taking my Care of vitamins, I probably wouldn't have ended up in the doctor. So it's very accurate from my experience. And so what it is it's like this box of vitamins and they have individual packets. They're super easy to take on the go and they have your name on it. So it'd be like, hi, Nicole. It tells you a quote of the day, which is really cool.
That's actually one of my favorite parts of
it. Yeah. And it just like... So if you're traveling for 5 days, you can take 5 packs. And anyways, it reads what you need. And so me being not eating meat, it knew I needed like iron and they give me like a natural chill pill and things like that.
And you know what's also cool? Care of also has these protein powders mm-hmm. now. They come in like on-the-go packets and in tubs. And they're clean labels and they're made with organic ingredients like cocoa and Himalayan nice. Pink sea salt. Or whey from free-range grass-fed cows from Ireland.
That's awesome. So your subscription box gets sent right to your door every month, just in case I wasn't clear on that. So it orders, and then you can reorder.
So it's like a subscription. Subscription.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you don't have to go anywhere. It just gets delivered to you.
That's awesome.
So if you're interested in trying to figure out what you're lacking in your diet, then you go ahead and take the quiz. And for 30% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code COCO30. For 30% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter COCO30.
Give it a try. Flipping the scale on this, let's talk about the other thing on the other side of the coin of this that you wanted to talk about.
What?
Paying it forward.
We were going to wrap up with that, but let's do it now.
Yeah, let's do it now because I think it's a perfect transition to this, right?
Okay, so let's say this really quick.
Okay.
I am so grateful for those of you who have been nothing but kind to me. Support.
Us.
Yes. Well, us. Mm-hmm. But even like Big Brother 16, like thank you for loving me because that gave me another opportunity on 18, which then me and Victor, mm-hmm. we became us. Like a year after that.
Yeah.
But thank you so much I love all you kind people. And I think our listeners are the kindest group. You know, when I post something on our Coco Caliente page, I'm so freaking excited. I don't have any like, oh my God, what are people going to say?
Yeah.
Whereas on my page, I will hem and haw for so long because I'm like, oh, what are people going to pick out? What are people... It's such a safe place. And we do have a Facebook group. Some people were messaging me today saying you should make a Facebook group. We do. It's private. So just request to follow it. It's Coco Caliente Podcast on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's such a nice group. Everyone's so nice. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I know we were talking about haters today, but...
Yeah. Big shout out to our supporters as well.
Because you guys are literally what keeps us going.
And
not just on the podcast, but in everything. Like we want to make you guys proud.
The reason, and the reason I like to post stuff about our relationship, which is the only thing I really post, is because I know you guys are out there and you guys really do care about us. And I love sharing how happy I am. You know, mm-hmm. I used to, and I've grown out of this, and this is part of my maturing, just doing the post flexing and which guys I have lost like 10 pounds, but I'm not keen on doing like the flexing pics anymore. So you won't see that, you know, but I do the things that I do because I love my fiance and I know we have supporters out there that, you know, really buy into what we do and the podcast and everything. So I do those things for you guys as well. And honestly, when we were starting this podcast, we were so nervous.
Oh my gosh,
that
we were
nobody
so
was going to be listening. Nobody would follow the page. Nobody would care. mugs was never a thing, you know what I mean? And now to be at the point that we're at,
we just like literally wake up and then 5 minutes before, like, what do you want to talk about today? It's not like stressful. It's very easy because you guys make it so, you guys like the raw, candid talk.
And we also, what gets us fired up too is when we're able to do a giveaway, which we should have another one coming up if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, is that one next week?
I don't know. I don't want to spoil it, but we have a...
Yeah, I think that might be next
week. From Colorado.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. I'm going to post this on my personal page.
Yeah, it's going to be a great giveaway for you guys. But that we get fired up about those things and I don't know. Even like when we did that live podcast in Texas, like we were so nervous, but the support that we got from you guys was awesome. And so, yeah.
We love you guys.
From where we started.
We love you. So, okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, from where we started to where we are now and seeing our page grow and our listeners grow and the reviews that we get, it's really amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing that I ever thought. And even if I don't continue this down the line, just to have this experience with you guys and share this with you guys. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. It is really, really cool.
And also I'm going to try to learn better way back. I'm going to be better at not responding to the haters and not giving them any attention.
Yes.
That is my goal for the rest of but 5 months. There's only 5 months left in the year, so I'm gonna nail it by 2020. I'm not even gonna turn my head. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want you to pay it forward this week. Even if it's just something tiny, a dollar pop at McDonald's or, you know, anything, just try to pay it forward. I'm gonna do something this week. So stay tuned on my page, maybe some Starbucks coffee or something.
Oh, yeah, you did that a few weeks ago, huh? Maybe a month ago, something
like
that.
I'm going to do it on my Coco Caliente page.
That's where you should do
it. I'm going to do it. You guys watch out this week. I'm going to do a Starbucks.
Yeah, honestly...
Yeah, because it went so fast last time.
Well,
I refilled it like 4 times. I'm like, oh my God.
And the reason I say it is because only the people that really love you and love us follow our Coco Caliente page. And because there might be other people that, you know, just watch to see what's going on your normal page. So just do it strictly on the Coco Caliente page and really.
So I'm going to pay it forward this week. You guys should too. Just make it a challenge to do it and you will feel so good. I love it.
Yeah. I got to do something like that too.
Buying a little kid, like their mom says no or something. And my brother one time just was like, I'll buy it for you. She's like, no, it's $3. And Jesse's like, my brother's like, I'll get it for you if it's fine with the mom. And she's like, okay. You know, and then he got this big cookie and he was super excited.
Yeah. So, I like doing stuff like that too. And those opportunities don't arise all the time, but when they do and you take action on it, oh my God, it's so rewarding.
Feels so good.
It does feel so good. And so we definitely challenge you to do that.
Okay. So now we're going to go into, I'm going to ask you what national day you think today is. I'm going to give you 3 options.
Okay.
This is like a new game that I kind of want to start. It's interesting. There's a lot of national days.
There is a lot of national days. I used to look those up every day at my old job and try to see what the national day was.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some weird things out there.
Yeah, yeah,
but go ahead.
Okay, so is today National Eat Your Jell-O Day? Is today National All or Nothing Day? Or is today National Threading the Needle Day?
Wow, those are I was not expecting those. So either the Jell-O All
Day
or Nothing or Thread the Needle.
Yeah. What is today?
Today is Thread the Needle.
What the heck? How'd you know?
You know what? Because when in doubt, you always choose C. I learned that in a...
That's not true, though. That's not true.
It worked just now.
It did. Because I put the right answer last.
Every time I pick C, it's always it.
Oh,
once.
My gosh. Okay, well, just you guys know, tomorrow's National All or Nothing Day.
Okay. So
and then
Thursday,
Jell-O Day was back on the
12th. So Thursday's Thread the Needle. Tomorrow is...
Thursday's today.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Thread the Needle.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow is...
All or Nothing.
And when was the Jell-O Day?
Back on the 12th.
Back on the 12th.
Mm-hmm. So I did pick all real days. I was going to make up some weird crap, but I was like, no. Oh, man.
That's funny. Okay, so Nicole, I want to do not a weird... Oh, no, I want to do the Spanish word of the day, right?
Okay. Yeah. I was just thinking about what you could possibly do.
Oh, for Weird or Normal or
for Spanish Day.
Okay, Spanish. And this is going to be, I'm going to have fun with this one. Audífono.
Haters.
No. Audífono.
Support.
It's something that we use for our podcast.
Okay, wait. Say it again.
Audífono.
Headphones.
Yeah.
Sounds just like headphones if you really listen.
How?
Say it again.
Audífonos.
Phones. Headphones.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it means headphones. That's cool. I was not expecting you to get it. That's kind of random that you actually got it.
Oh, really? That one wasn't that tough.
I thought it was.
Give me a little credit.
That was good. That was tough. So I am giving you credit for getting it is what
but
I'm saying.
But I immediately thought it was going to be something we're talking about. So that's where my mind goes. But then when I really listened, I heard phones and we're wearing headphones.
Oh, okay.
See?
That's smart. So we are in the dead of summer now, right? And this is when, if you weren't getting fit already, still right now is the perfect time to start. And I know every time I try to get in shape, again, because I always go in and out, mm-hmm. I'm always scouring the internet for like the best workouts. But mm-hmm. I think the best place to go and the place that I've been using is OpenFit. So OpenFit, it takes out all the complexity of losing weight and getting fit. It's like a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day.
That's what I like about it is I can work out at home.
Yes, exactly. And so basically, it's a streaming service that you can use on your TV, on your phone, computer. So you can use it anywhere, anytime. And you get what you put in. You can see results within the first 30 days. If you want to increase your energy, put some pep in your step, if you just want to feel better overall, inside, outside, lose weight, any of that. They have a bunch of different programs like Yoga 52 or Tough Mudder or what's the one that you like?
Extend Bar.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about that a lot because she really likes that one. And so they'll give you guys a completely free trial. So OpenFit has changed the way I work out, and texting my code or our code, COCO, mm-hmm. to 303030, you can join me on a fitness journey personalized just for you. So right now during the OpenFit 30-day challenge, our listeners get an a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit when you text 303030. You got to text COCO to 303030. You'll get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, just text COCO to 303030. Standard message and data rates may apply. So do you have a weird or normal?
Yeah, I do. This is actually, so I tried to find who suggested this in our, I read DMs from the COCO Caliente podcast, but then they fill up again. So I like have trouble finding.
Gotcha.
Someone, a listener came up with this one.
Okay. You don't remember their name or anything?
No, I tried to look it up for like 30 minutes before the podcast and I can't locate it. So I don't know if it's gone now. I also tried to tell Victor, someone came up with a really good podcast listener name. And
oh yeah, we're still trying to find a name for our listeners.
Okay, so for the listener's name, we want something that can be like, we can say that's super easy. So like coasters is something Vic like randomly said. And I was like, well, that could be kind of cute. Like our coasters, because we're the hot chocolate.
And you put your chocolate or mugs right. or something in a coaster.
Because marshmallows people don't like because that's Veronica Mars fans, which is fine. So something that's like easy to say, that's short, that's quick, like, hey, blink. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going for. But anyways, this is something that a listener came up with. So she said, do you, I don't know how she worded it, but do you think it's weird to dry yourself in the shower, like in the shower with the curtain closed, or do you get out and then dry yourself? Cause I didn't know there was two options here.
Yeah. So me being a neat freak that I am, mm-hmm. I hate And I say hate with a passion because this is something you do. And I'll tell you a story about somebody else that used to do this. I hate when there's water all over the bathroom floor when I go in the shower, right? So if somebody showered before me and then I walk in the shower and there's just water all over the floor, I'm like, are you joking right now? Why get out? So I, long story short, I dry myself in the shower.
That's weird.
And then I prop my leg up on the side of the tub or whatever. I dry my foot and my leg. I put one leg out. I dry my other leg and foot and put the other leg out. So when I get out of the shower, I'm dry. And right. I can finish up with my head or whatever. But
I jump right out, man, soaking wet.
And I hate that.
Might as well just wring my hair out right on the floor.
And no, exactly.
I'm not that bad.
My best friend used to do that. Merino, mm-hmm. when we were roommates, he'd get out of the shower and just grab the towel out of the shower so the whole floor just soaked. Just completely, like, why even have the mat, the shower mat outside if you're not even going to, he doesn't
we do use it. I step on it and it still gets water other places. I don't like to dry myself in the shower for some reason.
Why? Just open the curtain. I can understand if you feel confined and it's like, oh, the towel's going to touch everything while I'm in there. But if you open the curtain.
No,
you
step right out.
You got so much space.
I step right out.
I just don't. And then the thing is, for me also is like, if my.
I wipe up the floor, by the way.
Sometimes, or maybe you don't get it all. And my feet can be dirty because I haven't gotten in the shower yet, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I took off my socks and I'm waiting outside or walking around. So, what happens?
I know where you're going.
I walk into the shower, or I walk into the bathroom, and if the floor is wet and my feet are dirty, spots start showing up on the floor because my feet are dirty and it mixes with the water.
Well, I think I do it because we have tile, so it can't ruin tile. But if it was like a wood floor or something.
Pretend we have a wood floor in the bathroom.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just.
Hey, at least we have different opinions on this.
Yeah, because I don't know. It's just me being a neat freak. That's all.
I like to like hop out of the shower and like get that big gust of fresh air.
I like that too, but that's why I just open the whole curtain and let it all come in. I get that experience.
I wonder why I don't do that.
Okay, so do you come into the shower from the front by the shower head?
No.
Or from the back?
The back.
Really?
Where do you come in?
I come in the front.
Why?
Because I'm touching the water and making sure it's good. And once it's good to go, I just hop right into it.
Oh, so I hop right in and then I'm like, oh my God, if it's colder. Oh my God, if it's hot.
So you just turn it on and then you hop in and then you figure it out after?
Well, I put my hand in to make sure it's doing something. But there's been, yesterday I hopped in and it was burning hot and I had to hurry and run to the front. And it like burnt my skin. I don't know. I don't think of that's funny. We're so weirdly opposite.
I come in and that's weird. It's almost like it's a routine because I come in to the front of the shower and I leave out the back of the shower.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're off. That was a good one. Thank you for that weird or normal.
Yeah, that was a good weird or normal.
I didn't know you got in from the front of the shower.
Yeah, either. I come in the front and I leave out the back. It's almost like, I don't know, I go clockwise, you know. Well, and it's also because the towel's in the back.
Yeah, I come out the back too.
But yeah,
I go in the back.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a good one.
All right, so I am podcasting with our guests by myself. But Victor is not here, and we all know he is the podcast king. But I'm going to have Ovi and Hannah, his girlfriend, on the podcast today. We're going to try to, you know, get the scoop of some Big Brother game, but also more about them. So I hope you enjoy. All right. So how are you guys? How is it getting back to normal life?
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, it's wild. I mean, honestly, in my life, I didn't really think much would change, and just coming back to Hannah, my family, dog, and just chilling, but it's kind of strange now having so many people kind of know you online. The other day, somebody, I was coming to Hannah's place, and somebody stopped or pulled off from the interstate because they saw my car and then came, like,
They pulled up to my apartment and asked to take a picture with OB.
So,
oh my gosh.
Because of the van.
The van is kind of noticeable. So yeah, it's been a pretty surreal experience, and it's been a lot easier than I thought it would be just because of all, like, everybody kind of reaching out.
Yeah.
Big Brother alumni like yourself. So everybody's been super nice and showing a lot of love.
Yeah, well,
it's been interesting for me too. I've had a couple people come into my job and like fangirl over Ovi.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, thank you. Do you need some makeup? Or did you just come here and talk about Ovi? So it's been funny though. I appreciate everybody being so sweet and everything, but it's strange having somebody be so obsessed with this dork.
Yeah. For sure. And I feel like Hannah, you got to, I mean, they wrote an article about you and what was it? Cosmopolitan. Yeah. So did you just wake up to that one day or did they like interview you? Cause I kind of like read it and it seemed like they knew a lot about you guys.
No one said anything to me at all. I had no idea that was going to happen. It was actually I was on vacation last week when they released the article, and Rockstar from last season is actually the first one who reached out to me. She sent it to me and was like, hey, Hannah, this is crazy. Have you seen this? And I took a minute for me to like register it, but it was insane. I thought that book was like the Bible when I was in middle school. So middle school and high school. And so I was really excited to see that, but no, I had no idea it was going to happen. They didn't interview me or anything. I think they gathered everything from Instagram.
Was it, and it was pretty accurate. Was it right?
Yeah, it was all really accurate.
That's awesome.
I'm glad some of my Instagram captions have been pretty in depth.
It was all
pretty accurate, but it was super exciting.
Yeah, no, that is like that's awesome. So Ovi, how'd you get into the Big Brother house? Like, what was your application, or were you a recruit? Because I remember I watched like the Jeff interviews, and I remember seeing. Well, I loved you right away, and I remember seeing you say something like about a homework assignment or something.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny. In high school, I was taking this sociology class, and what was this? It's like in 10th grade, I think. And the assignment for that class was to watch Big Brother, essentially. And so I thought it was really strange. Why would I want to watch people 24/7?
It is weird.
At first, I was like, this is kind of strange. But then I watched an episode, and then kind of fell in love with it. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And so after I finished the class, we did all, like, you know, we had to analyze all that. And then I just became a fan ever since then. I got to, I think it was season 15, I got to see your season, which I loved that, and then later on kept watching all the other seasons. So I was such a big fan since then. And so it was always kind of my dream of mine to, you know, shoot my shot and put out an application. So I applied, made a video. My buddy helped me make the video.
Was that like January?
Yeah. I think I made it in like January wise. You know, I was like really stressing over the video. I was like, I want to make it perfect. I can. But I sent it out, you know, I didn't think really much of it. And then I was really fortunate for them to get back to me. And then the whole process started from there.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we ever really, I didn't really think you'd ever get on.
Yeah.
You just kept making some cuts, and then here we were in June. So
that's so funny. Hannah, did you want to apply with him?
Oh, no.
No. You're like, no, that's not my thing.
I've never watched the show, actually, until this season. So I was kind of in the same boat as, like, sophomore Ovi. I thought it sounded really weird. And I like social media and things like that a lot, but I tend to be more of a private person about certain things. Yeah. And so the idea of someone watching me all the time, I was like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. People will see me like without my eyebrows filled in. Like, I don't want to do that.
Dude, you are stunning. You would be stunning no matter what. So that is not something you have to worry about.
Thank you. But no, it's been interesting for sure. And this is always like Ovi's dream and everything. And I still have a year of school. So I, you know, even if I had wanted to do something like that, I, you know, if we had made it to September, I would have had to miss out on school and things. So this was Ovi's little dream for the time being.
So it was easy to let him go because you knew it was his dream. You guys have a solid relationship. So it was just like, you know, see you later. I'm going to miss you type feeling, right?
Yeah. I think it was more so like that. I think it was easier for me because I didn't really know what to expect. So I was just kind of like, bye. Then it all started. And luckily, you know, I didn't really know what to expect on like the internet and things like that. And then I released something saying, you know, like, I'm so excited for him, whatever. And that's when I started getting a little bit more of a following. And that was really cool. You know, luckily, BB Twitter has been pretty kind to us.
That's very unusual. So take it well.
I've heard that we're lucky in that
way. Yes. It can be a brutal place. But I'm glad that it's treating you really well, because I think after my first season on 16, it was really good. And then after I won on 18, it was like, Paul was robbed, you know? So I've had both experiences, and you just got to learn to like you know, take the good stuff and then just not turn your head. Like, if strangers say mean things, it's just let it go, you know? So
yeah. Well, there's definitely one or two. And I think I gave myself the first couple of days after the press release to just scroll through and read every single thing that was posted. And then after that, I kind of limited myself just to like 20 minutes at night, like reading through and things. And I realized it would be really easy to like fall down the rabbit hole of just scrolling for hours and reading everything.
Exactly. So how did you guys get together? What's your love story?
Man,
you started it, so you want to take this?
Yeah, I guess. So Hannah and I had a class. What was it? I think my sophomore year. My sophomore year, her freshman year. And it was a very fun class called Constitutional Law.
Oh, my gosh.
Law in American Society. So, yeah. Very fun. Not actually really fun at all.
Right.
But I saw Hannah was like the only, like, the main girl in the class, and she was
political science classes at UT. A lot of times there's only a few girls and then there's just lots of guys in there, especially your upper level classes. And for some reason, my freshman year self decided to take all upper level classes, which was stupid. But luckily I met you out of that. a lot of stress, school-wise, but I met you.
Yeah.
So we were in that class together, and I was probably one of, like, maybe four or five girls.
Yeah, and so I saw Hannah there, and so I always thought she was, you know, looked beautiful and whatnot, but I never, we didn't say much to each other at all, and so it was coming near the end of the semester, and I was like, you know what, I need to, if I'm going to say something, I need to say it now, and the final was coming up, and so I sent her, not like a DM, not an Instagram message or anything like that, or even asked her for a number, I sent
her an email.
Aw, that's so cute!
She sent her, hey, do you want to study for the final? I made a study guide.
Aww.
I said, the brown boy sitting behind you.
In the Hawaiian shirt. Okay, well, you're the only brown boy in there, you really didn't need to specify if you were wearing the Hawaiian shirt, but...
And then two days went by. I'm like, all right, nothing's going to happen. I'll put my number in there. And then I get a text like the day before the final. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, I'd love to study. So we ended up studying. We don't get much done. And we both almost fail our finals.
Happens
to another. And during the summer, we decide to go meet up like a few weeks down the line and just for like a little, you know, little date. And then after that, she lives in...
I lived in Memphis for the summer.
Yeah, Memphis. And I lived in like Knoxville. So those are around like 6-7 hours away.
Oh, wow.
And I own like a kind of a broken down minivan with no AC, but we decided I travel down to Memphis one weekend, and the next weekend she would travel down, so we did that back and forth throughout the summer. And by school year,
my car has AC,
yeah,
so it you know was it's a lot easier for me.
Yeah, that's good. And what's funny is Victor's car, when he got out of Big Brother too, his didn't have AC, and he talked about it, and his windows didn't roll down, and he's like, he would like talk about that too.
That's like Obi, none of your doors open except for like the driver's one.
Yeah,
so you have to crawl through.
Yes. It's definitely a ride. And but yeah, that's kind of how it happened. And then before we knew, when the school started, we started deciding. I was a little apprehensive, and then eventually Hannah put her foot down and it was just like, if you're going to date me, you better date me. And so that was kind of the cue.
That's how it went.
So it's been how long?
Like 2 years?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
A little over 2 years now, yep.
Awesome. Congratulations. You guys are so cute. And
thank you.
You and Victor are our favorite couple, though. Like, we are
thank
really,
you.
Like, we fanboy and fangirl over y'all.
Victor's a good dude. I mean, he usually keeps, I don't know if you've ever listened to our podcast, but he's the one that does the talking. So I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? But you guys are so easy to talk to. This is so fun.
Oh, you're making it really easy.
Yeah,
I am not a big podcast gal. I didn't really know how this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And Ovi and I were, you know, going to like talk about it before you called, and he didn't get here until 11 o'clock, so
he couldn't get in his van.
I'm glad that you're easy to talk to, because I didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah, no, this is going really good. So I saw this really cute thing. I don't know if it's true. Ovi, did you like set up emails to send Hannah while you were in the house?
Yes, I did. The night before I left, I didn't really sleep at all, and what I didn't say, I made kind of like a different email and made like a video for every week I'd be gone and put it kind of on a timer thing. And so
I didn't even know you could do that. So you didn't even have like someone send them for you. Like, you set up a timer.
No, it was a time going, because it would come at 10 o'clock every week after like the first episode of the week.
Oh my gosh. So what was it like getting the first one, Hannah?
I had had like a watch party the first night, for the premiere. Mowgli, shh. Mowgli wants to talk on the podcast too. But I was sitting here with just with a bunch of girls in my apartment, and I got an email, and the name of it was just some random name. It was like Thomas or something like that.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Who is emailing me? And so I opened it, and it was a video. And I opened it up, and there was Obi. And I'm just not really a big technology girl in general.
Same here. I know what you mean.
What the heck? Yeah. Like, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. I didn't really know a lot about Big Brother, too. And so I was like, how is phone? Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And then I realized that he had like pre-recorded all of these, and so I'm sitting there crying with a bunch of girls that I'm friends with, and they're all freaking out, of course, just because we eat that kind of stuff up. But it was really nice. It was nice because at that point he had been gone for about 2 weeks. I hadn't really heard from him or anything for a while, and so it was nice to hear his voice and everything. And then I started getting one every week. It was labeled week one. And so I was like, did this man make one for every week that he would be gone? That probably would have been easier if you had known you'd only been gone for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, we only got the video like 5 or 6. So
that's still so cute. You set the standard so high. Anyone listening, they're going to be like, their boyfriend expectations just went up. So,
That was really sweet.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's easy when you have a good girlfriend.
Okay, we'll talk game talk now. We'll get into like the Big Brother stuff. Okay, because now I'm like getting like, all right, I'm excited. So how is actually being in the Big Brother house versus what you thought it would be, since you were a fan? And, you know, I feel like before I went into the house, I always thought it would be like the diary room would be like something like the kitchen, you know, food pantry dances. What was it like compared to your expectations?
Oh, man, it was absolutely crazy. I mean, in the sense that like you watch a show, you see clips here and there. And so I guess the crazy thing was the layout of the house. First of all, I didn't ever realize the diary room and things like that were so close to the living room, or the kitchen was this side, you know, the bathroom, you got to walk through the whole house. Like you never realize until you're in the house what it is and that you're surrounded with mirrors. Like now I'm so used to like having a mirror next to me, I can check myself out super easy, but like in real life, you don't have that. So, expectations like that were definitely like, as a fan, like, whoa, mind blown. Going into house though, you know, you have a certain game plan in it, and being a fan, you kind of know like what the basics are. You know, like, you might not want to win exactly the first HOH, you don't want to call off the first two people. You know, you try to plan for those type of things, but it really is like how Julie says, you have to expect the unexpected, and there's so many things that just get thrown at you that you got to figure out a way to maneuver your way around.
I think I was so scared. I didn't talk for like the first 11 days because I was like, I do not want to like be a target. And I was so intimidated by everyone because I was quiet. And, you know, everyone was so like loud. And I was like, oh, my God, am I going to even have a friend in here? So it's so weird because you're worried. You don't know if they're going to put people in there that you'll even like be able to talk to when you're feeling sad or you're missing someone. And was that Cliff for you? Was that who you were closest to in the house?
Yeah, you know, in the house, exactly what you said. You're not sure, like, you're scared about what you might say might get people upset. And so,
I mean,
it might be, it's a lot of seasons, but this season, at least personally for me, because I was playing it, was there were so many big personalities there that are really trying to command the conversations at all times. So, you know, back home, I like to think of myself as a bigger personality, and I like to talk, but I make sure other people have the chance to talk. And, you know, it's respect given both ways. In the house, it was tough sometimes to even get a word out because people are shouting over another, they're talking. And so
there's a lot of loud personalities in there for sure. Exactly. A lot of one-sided conversations.
Yes. Yeah. Most all. And you know, my plan was that, you know what, you're going to be a listener over in here. You're going to listen to what, you know, like instead of talking so much, you're going to listen more. So that way you can try to create social connections with people. Obviously the social connection did not work.
It worked out for me.
But yeah. And then day one, you're trying to find your bed situation, and somehow Cliff and I, we got paired up with each other. Oh, well, I got paired up with, I think I think it was Christy at first, but, you know, I have a girlfriend, so I was pretty, like, up, like, front about that. I was just like, you know what, I can move to a different bed. I think you should rather sleep with a guy or, like, by myself. And just, but you have to, you know, pair
maybe
up.
You should have slept with Christy, because now you'd rather sleep with Cliff than me.
Yeah. So. and so then Cliff became somehow my, you know, bedmate, and so we started a bond from there. And then Cliff was one of the few people in the house, honestly, that he really wanted to hear some of my, like, the things I've done before, you know, about my life, and the same vice versa. I think in my head, too, going in the game, I always wanted to get closer to one of the older person in the cast, or some of the quote-unquote, you know, outsiders, because
right,
you know, it's just people are people, and I think sometimes they're the most interesting people. And Cliff has so many stories, and so he became my best friend in the house, for sure, him and Nicole.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, like, it's weird because on 16, like, Donnie was one of my best friends, and then Christine, and they kind of have, like, those similarities, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was not part of the 8-person alliance either on 16, so I know how you feel. I was like, they did not want me in the alliance. I didn't know anything that was going on. And I just thought, like, you know, I just thought it was like summer camp, and I was so excited to be there. And then next thing you know, it was like, oh my gosh, like, there's a huge alliance taking over the house, and I don't even know about it. So,
oh yeah,
I can totally relate.
Watch this season. Yeah.
I would totally relate to that. It was like called the bomb squad, but it didn't last long. So they never really,
So yeah, no, exactly. It's that, I mean, in my head, I know there's going to be an alliance made day 1, 2, and 3, you know, just come from watching it in the same boat as you. Like, you know, they did not want me in that 8-person alliance. And in fact, I let the 8-person alliance know that, hey, I think there's an 8-person alliance forming. So I think that was, you know, definitely put a target on my back from there. But in my head, I was thinking that if there are people out there that are aligned already, if those people already know that, hey, I want to be a number for you.
Right.
In my head, I'm thinking that rationally that they wouldn't want to target me right now, because if they know I'm already good with them and I'll protect him at that moment, why would you want to put me up? So that kind of, you know, I didn't expect that. And so that's, I think, might have been naivety on my part in the beginning, and my, like, own actions to play. Because in the game, I wanted to get everyone to like me. That was my goal.
Well, I think that you also thought that they would be thinking rationally. And
yeah, exactly. They should have wanted you. They should have wanted you as a number. That you wanted to be on their team. It's their fault. It's like their loss. It's honestly idiotic. Like, their game move to not take you in when you had a power, and you told them about the power. And let's back up. So did you know, did you and Mickey go to college together? Do you know him?
We did go to college together, but, you know, the school is 29,000 students, and he was a year before, he graduated a year before me. So I didn't know him during this time. We didn't even have, I don't think we had any classes together. It's kind of crazy. And my year where I served as student body president was my senior year. So I knew people before that, but that fourth year is when I got to know a lot more people. So he was already graduated by then. So no, Mickey and I never knew each other.
Okay.
I had a lot of people reach out to me and ask me if we knew him too. And, you know, I, after finding out he was on the cast, I found out about some people who had known him and come across him and things during, like, their time here, just because I was in a sorority for a while too. And he was pretty involved life as well. But yeah, it was interesting because there were so many people saying, you know, like, it's gonna be partners this season.
I thought that too.
I was like, yeah, I have no idea who this guy is.
And I was hoping that we would have that, we could use the bond of being a ball going to, you know, UT, because that's coming from this area, like, you know, when you're a Tennessee volunteer, that means a lot to a lot of people around here. So I was hoping in the house that that could be kind of a commonality that we share, and we'd look after each other, because I would not turn my back in the beginning on a ball. Like, that would just be, you know, me coming straight out of university at the end. So, however, some people don't share the same sentiment.
I wasn't sure, because so when you told them about your power, I personally think it was a great game move, because at that point, you needed something to make them want you to stay, right? Because you felt like you were going home. And tell us what you were thinking, like, when you were doing that.
Exactly. You know, and I know going, like, you do not tell anybody about your power. You keep that to your grave. And that was my plan. But I knew the writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
I knew how the votes were probably going. And I made that conscious decision that I said that, like, I'd rather throw every possibility out there. Sorry, our dog's kind of yelling
right
now.
That's okay.
I'd try every single – make sure that I wouldn't go home without trying if I had a power in my pocket. So I couldn't use the power. I couldn't transfer the power. But I thought maybe I could use the power of the knowledge of the nightmare power to my benefit. So I knew and in hindsight, of course, like, people can see all the perspectives. Jack was gunning for me day one. I didn't exactly realize how hard he was gunning for me. But I knew that Jack and Mickey both felt threatened, that they would be targets and they would go up. And I knew they had sway within the house. Mm-hmm. Kimmy, Nick, and Bella at that point already kind of wrote me off and were voting away from me. Jessica was voting to keep Kat. Cliff and Nicole were probably would have kept me there. So I knew I needed to get there.
I think they would have if they had thought that was where some of the bigger people at the moment in the house were going.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And they were just trying to fly under the radar too.
Yeah. So the four people I knew because Christy couldn't vote, and the four people I knew, or five people I knew I had to convince in that sense, because I think Sam would have just gone whatever it would be, Holly, Sis, Mickey, and Jack. Mm-hmm. And so I felt that if I could convince Mickey and Jack, because they already felt threatened, that they could sway Sis and Holly. So my plan was offer them this type of safety type of thing. And here's the thing is that in the Big Brother house, you can, you know, write a check and bounce it later. My only plan was survive eviction night and figure out everything down the line.
Right.
And so it was kind of my Hail Mary, hoping that, hey, maybe they will be like, okay, he's here for us.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a power that he's willing to protect us. Why would we vote him out over Kat, who probably won't do much at that point, you know, to keep us around? So it's, that was kind of my logic. Yeah. And it was kind of Hail Mary. I knew the likelihood of it succeeding was very low, but I knew I had to try something.
Yeah, no, and I think it's a great game move because you also told the people who were influential on the house who could have changed something. Those two guys were at the time kind of like whatever they said people would do. So I was like, yes, this could potentially work. And why, you know, like, why wouldn't they take this almost? So that was, it was a great try. You know, I would have done the same thing. I don't think the other people in the house should have told their power because they weren't in danger, but yours, I completely understand. What would Hannah, if you had like a 1 minute phone call with Ovi in the, like to call him in the house, what would you have told him? Why, like from, you know, like what would like game, if you could give him one, like advice for game wise, cause you know, who's against him, who's with him, what would you have said? Yeah.
I think that my biggest thing that I probably would have told him is that to stop trying with Jack.
Yeah.
I think that that would have been my thing because, I don't know, I could just see kind of the wheels turning in Obi's head. And I think that, it logically made sense, you know, what he was trying to do. And like I said earlier, he was like thinking, you know, rationally, why wouldn't these people keep me? And I think that my biggest thing that I would have told him is that it didn't really, from what I could see, that for whatever reason, whatever personal biases there might have been on the other people's part, that it didn't seem to matter.
No matter
what he did or what he didn't do. And so I think that my biggest advice to him just would have been, you know, to move on to something else, like try someone else. And I totally understood, you know, trying to reach for someone who seemed to be influential at the time in the house. But I think my biggest piece of advice to him just would have been that, you know, save your breath, calm, like just kind of relax a little bit, because it didn't seem to me, after, you know, him talking about his power, it didn't seem to me that it was going to matter what he did or didn't say with this group of people. Like, it didn't really seem like there was much of a chance from the get-go with certain individuals.
Yeah, and it honestly makes me so mad to watch. Like just knowing that their mind's made up without, no matter what's better for their game, it's just, it just made me feel like, this is such, like, why aren't you doing this? He has such a good point. Like, you know, and it's just frustrating. And I know what it feels like too, to be in the house. And I was at a point like that too. And I, you know, told Caleb, like, look, you're the next person on the totem pole. Like, work with me. And then he goes right away and says, yeah, Nicole said she wants to work, you know, just threw me right under the bus. And it's just like, they can't see right what's in front of them, I guess. So I completely know, like, I know how it feels. And it was just so hard to watch.
It was really frustrating to watch too, because, you know, you go in, well, especially somebody I didn't really, I was still kind of learning, you know, how this game normally goes.
Yeah.
And so once I realized, you know, that he was being targeted, mm-hmm. I'm going back trying to see, you know, what did he do? Like, why was this happening? Mm-hmm. And then I'm seeing, you know, people from like Big Brother alum and then other fans who are saying, you know, like, this doesn't make any sense. And so mm-hmm. I'm like, am I just being biased towards Ovi and thinking that he didn't do anything wrong? And so I was going through and trying to see if there was anything that he could have done smarter on that, on his end. And yeah, I still really believe that I don't really think it mattered what you did for after those first couple of days. It didn't really seem like anybody's mind was being swayed on you or David or Kimmy. So
yeah. You know. And did you watch live feeds too? Or
I had a subscription to it, but I realized pretty shortly in that I didn't really have to watch the live feeds.
Oh, people
to
know keep you updated.
To know what was going on. There was always some loyal Ovi stan either mentioning me or DMing me something and saying to go back and look at a certain timestamp and everything like that. And, you know, at first I was like, oh, this is going to be annoying, but it was actually kind of nice in the sense that I never really sat there and just watched the live feeds or anything like that. I always kind of knew what was going on, just because people would let me know. And mm-hmm. so that was nice just because I didn't have to sit there for hours and kind of comb through what was going on.
Yeah,
people always just kind of kept me updated.
That's really nice. So mm-hmm. Ovi, if you would have won the comeback competition, I'm sure you've been asked this like a million times, but I got to know, like if you won the competition and then you won HOH, who would you put up? Do you know?
Oh man, that's a dream right there.
Well, because everyone would want to be your best friend right now. So it would be really hard, you know, like they would cling to you.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to make sure that, like, you know, when I'm talking about this, I don't want to have like rose tinted glasses and be like, this is exactly what I would do, because in the moment you might be different, you know. Mm-hmm. I definitely think I would have tried to create some sort of, you know, partnerships through that power with the HOH, because I would have Cliff and Nicole and see what ways we could branch out. I really would want to reach out to like people like Sam and other people within the house that are already there to like kind of the outsiders and bring a coalition together. David being in the game for the time he was really helped me kind of work through things together and kind of see what's what. You know, I already had, by day 15, I started to think about more so the game at that point and got the clocks turning. And so I realized the power structure close to the end that we have at the head. We have, of course, Mickey there. There's Jack. And there's a strong alliance with this group of six people that would probably have some bonus members in there too. So to take out the structure, we need to take out Jack. And David was very adamant about that. So the more we talked about it, the more I realized he's right. This is something we need to take out. So my plan would be put Jack and Tommy on the block because I felt Tommy would not go home. And Jack, that would be the only person Jack would go home against.
Yeah.
Or put Christy next to Jack. Because these, and I would have an excuse, Christy, because she put me up. So in that sense,
that's what I would have liked to see. Yeah. Jack and Christy.
And so between those people and at that, and socially, because I think Tommy, you know, is playing great games socially in the house.
Yeah.
No one wants to target him. Everyone loves him. So I felt that the only way to get Jack at the time out, because when you're looking at these people, everyone was a shield for Jack. No one really wanted to target Jack, even though they knew how strong he was.
Yeah, it's so weird. It is. It's just so weird because he's just so big and he's just like powerful and loud and kind of mean. And so it's like, just get him. Get him out.
Think of the whole time I was watching. You know, like, have you ever, I'm sure you've seen Mean Girls.
Yeah, yeah.
There's that part in Mean Girls where they talk about Regina George and they're like, you know, the meaner she is to me, the more I want her to be my friend.
You know,
and I was sitting here and I was like, Jack is Regina George. Everybody's like, the more crap that comes out of his mouth, the more everybody's like, ugh, I need him to like me. Like, it was just so weird to me.
And it's strange. I think, you know, Jack used a lot of different tactics in the house. I think he used a bit of intimidation in the house to get people to move. So people were scared about moving against him. But I think if anything was a benefit for me in being in Camp Comeback is that you're at the lowest of the low. You're not even on a totem pole because you're technically out of the game.
Yeah.
You know? So I realized that if I'm getting another chance to get back in this game, I'm going to make sure I take a shot. I make a difference because I'm a fan, you know?
Yeah.
At this point, even getting to the end would be a real struggle because I know, like, my back's against the wall. But I was going to make sure I could take out head of the snake before I went out because I knew I had the nightmare power. And so coupled with if I won a HOH, I think I could have made a strong move within the house to make sure that one of them would go home.
And my favorite moment was when you went up to the HOH room and you stuck up for Nicole. Good for you, Ovi. Like, you got, I feel like that's like America's favorite worthy right there. Like, that move was so nice. You knew that, like, people could get angry at you or they could feel some type of way, but you were just so human and you were like, this is not right. Like, when you went up there, was your, like, heart racing? Were you nervous? And you were just like, I'm sick of this?
Yeah, I mean, thanks for saying that, Nicole. That does mean a lot. And a lot of people have been super encouraging and sweet about that moment. But I got to be honest, in that moment, that was just, you know, Nicole's my friend. And like back home in the house, I stick up for my friends.
Yeah.
I think, you know, some people are like, man, Ovi's such a nice guy. He's so sweet, things like that before any, all this stuff within the house. But, you know, I knew I was getting a lot of things thrown at me. But in my head, it's like, I'll keep my head down. I'm going to work through it.
Yeah.
When they go low, we go high, and I'm going to get back in his house and cause some chaos. But the line crossed for me that you can say what you want about me. That's, you know, I'm just going to take it right now at this moment. In real life, I would say something about it, but I'm not going to let you treat my friends badly. There's a difference between game moves and then personal moves.
Yeah.
And when you try to justify personal moves through game, that's not cool, because at that point, they were laughing up in the HOH. They were, you know, they're making a whole ruckus. They're making sure that we could hear them. And so knowing that, you know, as a camp comeback, because we're already ostracized, it is what it is at that moment. But then they just put on Jessica and Cliff on the block, and then they still disclude Nicole, too. That was just not cool in my book. And there's so many better ways to go around by this instead of doing that.
Yeah.
I didn't feel it wasn't right in my bones. And I had to say something. So when going up on there, I remember I was just trying to focus, trying to do what I probably did way too much in the house and bake cookies, because like that's the only way to get my mind off things.
Yeah.
And but like while it was happening, I'm hearing them laugh. I'm seeing Nicole pace back and forth. I see Cliff to my left, I think. And there's just utter sadness in them. I like at that moment I said I knew it wasn't right. I always told myself if something like this goes on in the house, I'm gonna make sure that I'm not gonna stand for it. So if I don't say something now, when am I ever? So Cliff was like, you know, you shouldn't do that right now. Cause, but at the point, it's like, my game is already as low as it can go, you know, Nicole? So if I don't say something when I'm even at this lowest point in the game, when am I going to say something?
Yeah.
And so my parents taught me better. My friends and, you know, family back home, they would do the exact same thing too for me as well. I know that for a fact. So I have a lot of good people around my life, and I've been really blessed because of the people around me, because they stuck up for me and vice versa. So,
No, that's so great. Yeah, it's so great. It's so great to see how genuine. I love watching like genuine, kind people on the show. It's just because, yeah, like you said, they're in the room, they're making all this noise, they're trying to like taunt you guys almost, and it's just so hard to watch. And then when you walk up there and you just say, you know, that you're not being nice, like this is not nice, and then it just shows who they are. And you know, you may not have made it as far as them, but you are going to make it so much further in life, and you are going to have so many opportunities open up for you, because that's what happens to good people. So I loved watching. You never know, you could be back for a second chance.
there's a chance, and if I was to be back, I would definitely take off some blinders and play a lot harder and make sure the game is there. But also, I'm always a big proponent of making sure other fans get a chance to play. So either way, I'll be happy to see whoever can go back in this house down the line, because there's some people I think on this cast that would be better replaced with others. I'll just say that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And okay, so my last questions are, who are each of you rooting for right now? Because are you guys are watching? Is it hard to watch? Are you watching? Are you invested?
I don't think we're really keeping up as closely, like with the live feeds and things like that, but we're watching.
We're watching. We're keeping up. You know,
I don't watch I'm not watching live feeds this year either. I watched them one year before I went on, and then I kind of, you go on Twitter, like you said, and you have all the recaps. I don't even gotta, you know, you can see everything that's happening. So, but as a casual viewer, you guys are watching the shows like every 3 nights a week?
Well, I'm catching, you know, I guess it's hard to say. I think you might understand this. Right now, it's in that mode where, I'm keeping up with all the updates. Every day at nighttime, I go check to make sure, you know, they're doing okay. But like watching the show is a little tough for me right now.
Yeah.
It's weird to say, just because, you know, you're not there and like your dream was to make it as far as you could. So there's like a bit of a hint of I don't know. Just a,
no, I get it. I get it. It's been 5 years and I still get like nostalgia and I still get a weird feeling when people move into the house. I feel like it never goes away. Like it's like, wait, there's new people and it's not me. It's so weird. And even when it's like your season, I've never watched my seasons back either, so I don't blame you for that. But it's a very weird, weird feeling. Like I feel like you don't understand unless it's you, you know, like, I don't know. So, but if you still got to be rooting for Cliff and Nicole, I'm guessing.
The people that I think Hannah and I are both rooting for in the house.
I'm rooting for Nicole.
Yeah,
I love Nicole.
Nicole and Cliff is my two. I mean,
I like Cliff too. Mm-hmm. But I really want Nicole to win it.
I'm either one of them who can get there. I'm all for it. If they both can get there, I'd be happy. Because right now, I consider, you know, we always say back home, your friends, you should celebrate your friends' successes like they're your own.
Yeah.
And Nicole and Cliff are like my two best friends in the house. And I'm pretty sure when they leave this house, they're going to be one of my closest friends as well. And so, yeah, I'm rooting for them. I was super happy how Cliff won the HOH. He put up Jack and Mickey. I know that Mickey came down, and then now Bella's up there. So, like, it's a mixed bag right there, because I was really hoping one of them would go up there. But at the end of the day, I'm glad he did win the HOH, and he was able to pull his safety for Nicole and him. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping maybe next week, maybe Nicole can win it, or maybe somebody on the outside, like Jessica, or on the other side of Sam, some of those people, or whoever, Nick, if he's left there. So, and the votes might flip, and Jack might go home, too.
I'm just glad it's not Nicole or Jessica or Cliff up there on the
Yeah, that's, you know, it's time to turn this, you know, I wish, like, I would have been there to take the shot and turn it around a little bit, but I'm super happy that the rest of what is left of the Fellowship of the Zing is able to take a shot. So that's, I'm rooting for them. I'll keep on rooting for them. And if these two sides start to take shots at each other, and if the within the inner, I think, what is the shooters, the six shooters?
Yeah, I think they're going to. I feel like they're also, like, moody, and they get mad, and they're, like, or jealous or something. Because I feel like they're going to turn on each other before they're even worried about Nicole and Cliff for some reason, you know? Because I don't know.
I hope so.
Yeah. That's what I'm hoping, is that they start taking shots, and then they see each side kind of sees Nicole and Cliff as a number instead of shooting taking them out. They want them for their side. So, and I'm thinking, you know, Nicole has taken so much, like, in that house. Like, people have thrown so much at her. Mm-hmm. And Nicole is such an incredible woman outside the house and inside that house.
Yeah.
And she's able to connect with people one-on-one in a way that people just don't understand. So her social game, her being able to flip votes and things like that, I'm hoping that she can keep utilizing that power of being able to connect with people and have them look at her in a different light. So I'm thinking, and I'm crossing my fingers and knocking on wood, that she can continue to keep navigating socially through the game and just somehow find her way near the finals. And I'm hoping Cliff can keep bringing these rabbits out of these bags and, you know, and do that and win maybe, you know.
So. She seems super smart, too. She's got it all. She just needs a loyal team. I think that's about all she needs. So
Exactly. Nicole, she's a gamer. She knows the game. Mm-hmm. And she gets reads on people. And also, I don't know, you know, how maybe the feeder saw, or but it was when I was in the house. When even Nicole was on the block, she did not give up hope once, you know. Mm-hmm. She had a moment. And then she's like, I'm going to keep fighting because this is what I'm here for.
Right.
And you can't break that fighting spirit there, you know? Mm-hmm. I was trying to fight till the very end. Look at Cliff. No matter when he's had his back against the wall, whether that was banishment or being blindsided, voted out, and then fighting right back and getting back in the game, he does great when he's under pressure. So
yeah, he does.
Cliff is the most clutch person in this Big Brother 21 house, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then I'm hoping him and Nicole can pair up and keep going on further. So, sorry, long answer there.
No, that's okay. It's a great answer, and I completely agree.
It's really only Cliff or Nicole from
us. Yeah, me too. I mean, I love them, and I hope that they have, like, an underdog story, and then they come out on top, and, you know, it's going to be fun. Once they're out, I'm just going to be, if they get out, I'm just going to be like, oh.
Yeah, I think the only person from the majority that it wouldn't, like, anger me to win would be, like, Tommy.
Yeah, I think.
And then what about, how is Sam? He seems like he's, like, really nice and stuff. I haven't watched the feeds, but I don't know if he doesn't seem like too bad either, or is he like, yeah. Is he with that group, or I don't know.
I will say this, and here's the thing. People say things behind closed doors, and I haven't seen everything everyone said. And
yeah, that's true.
I've seen a lot of things. And with Sam, at least, and I can testify to this, from day one to day 30, every camp comebacker who was there, Sam never switched a beat in front of us. And, you know, he was one of the people who didn't try to ostracize us like everyone else did. He came, had these conversations. Good. Like, there was one day I still remember that I was like, I don't know if it was like day 29, day 28. He was just like, he came up, he's like, hey, let's play pool. And I was just like, all right, let's play pool. And he was doing that. He's like, I just haven't had a chance to spend as much time with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really like you, OB, things like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when you're at your lowest of your low, when no one wants to spend time with you, when people leave a room in 12 seconds after you come in, and just having somebody in the house be like, hey, you want to play pool with me? Let's just hang out, you know?
It means a lot.
It means a lot. So at its core, I think Sam's actually a really good person. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that he can work with Nicole and Cliff and kind of stir something up, because he's also really good at competitions. So I'm thinking that
he is.
A chance. And so I'm hoping that he decides, if he does win Power next week, that he decides, hey, I need to take a shot. There's no reason to go after Cliff or Nicole. I need to take a shot at one of these big people because they're going to be gunning for me.
Yeah. I think Sam at least is playing it in the way, from what I understand, that it's been played in the past, you know, where you're still in those conversations behind closed doors about what needs to happen and things like that. And he's still, you know, in that majority group. But I think at least Sam, from what I could see, like you said, had the decency to, like, still treat you guys normally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, like, into your base. So.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, respect is given one way, it should be returned the other way. That's the way I believe it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, when I was around Sam, he showed me, I can't speak for Kimmy and David exactly, but from my understanding, he did treat us, the camp comebackers, with respect and a lot, like, in front of us, you know? Again, mm-hmm. sometimes you're part of these big conversations where people say one thing, the other, and that's kind of a different story.
Yeah.
But I can say from my personal experiences with Sam, was definitely a decent, nice guy.
And I think he's two little boys.
Yeah.
So at least, you know, the money would be used for helping them out.
He's paying for, I believe, Radley's medical bills, because he had a whole issue when he was born and whatnot. And so he's fighting for family. So that's the other thing, is that I kind of, I'm sorry, I don't want to keep going on. People's, I guess, the level of ruthlessness in the game, you have to be ruthless. You have to be cutthroat. I completely understand that, especially now.
It's something, you know, important to fight for.
Exactly.
Yeah. Boy.
There's certain people, though, in the house have more to fight for than others. And Sam is still playing a respectful game. However, he is fighting for more than a lot of people in that house, I would argue.
For sure.
He's fighting to get his whole family out of debt, to have money for his kids to go down to school down the line. You know, those are things he's fighting for. When some of these people, I never want to, like, compare what, you know, who needs it the most. And that's not the question here. But he's able to show respect and love, even though he's fighting for our family. But has two kids, when some people don't.
Yeah, I think some people definitely, you know, still can be likable as a person and things like that, but go in there or like a platform or for clout or things like that. But I think, you know, Sam at least is genuinely there to help his family. So I like that.
Yeah. And there's no benefit to being a mean person, no matter what, like, you know, family, no family, whatever. You should just never treat anybody like crap. So
exactly.
They just don't have it for people who do in the house or outside the house or anywhere, because this episode, we kind of talked, me and Vic talk about handling criticism on media and stuff. And, it's just like, it's just, there's no benefit to being a mean person. You know, everyone's still human, and you can be competitive without being mean. So
exactly.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. And that's the way I look at it, is that, like, if certain moves need to be in the house and that gives you the most best possible, like, efficient way, then fine. Mm-hmm. It's game. I don't care. However, if you were able to not be a jerk and not be so mean and still get the most best possible result out of it, you probably should have went down that route. If anything, being mean makes it less likely to help you. I think some of these people forget they are being recorded 24/7.
Yes, I was going to bring that up. Like, you knew because it was a project, like an assignment, so you knew like that. But these people, I feel like, do not know that there's like 24-hour live feeds. Like,
which is just like mind-blowing to me.
And I feel like they've been reminded that they're on live feeds. I've heard even cast members go to another cast member and say, hey, you know you're like your 24/7 streaming, right? And they're like, yeah. What?
Oh, definitely. And then they act like they don't know this.
I'm like, what? They tell you? Like, they tell you.
Never even watched this show. Yeah. I've never even watched the show. Like, and I know this. Like, yeah. How do you not know?
They tell you before you go in there. Like, they don't just surprise you on live feeds. Like, that's.
And I think that that's people kind of like doubling back on things that, you know, they may have said or done, and then they're like, oh, I didn't know. Yes, you did.
Well, too bad if you didn't, because that's still the type of person you are. You shouldn't be putting on a fake show anyway. So
yeah, exactly. And that just shows even more of your character, you know, if you're going to claim that you didn't know.
Yeah, that's worse.
Certain people are watching. That's worse, because, you know, how you act when people aren't looking at you is who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's wild in that sense, because, you know, and I always said that after the game, and that's why I kind of own up to all my mistakes within the game, because people had a better view than I did, and so, like, anything I say is very easily debunked if it's wrong, because, like, thousands of people were watching.
They have the receipts.
They have the receipts. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I think it goes to show that if the type of things these people, the house guests are saying in the house, when they are on national television, what do they say when they're not here and in other code words, you know?
Oh, exactly.
Exactly. So, they're probably already, honestly, on a better behavior than what they are at home. And that's, like, terrible. It's like,
which is scary. It's like, what do you do when you're at home, or especially people in certain job positions? I'm just like, how do you act when you're in the workplace if you're acting this way in a house? Like, mind-boggling.
And it's unfortunate. And, you know, I always said that I would never be bitter about anything within, you know, the game, because the game is played in a way that game moves have to be made. But within this house, I'll just say this, that there were a lot of personal things that were made. I think there were a lot of implicit biases that were in play. Right. And I'm not saying it for me, but the way people treated David and Kimmy were completely wrong. And I think a lot of the actions against them were not based on game. They were based on previous biases. And so that's just not right whatsoever, because I think some of these people going to house, they were judged before the moment they walked in the house, you know?
Yeah.
I think
the two of them were the immediate, and then it went to you.
Yeah. And so that's really unfortunate, because, you know, being a game of the, you know, fan of the game, loving this game as much, you want to come in here and you shouldn't be judged before you
pop
anything, you know, just on the way you look. And so that's just really unfortunate. Yeah. And I think, you know, people have to answer for the things they do in this house, maybe not inside the house right now.
After, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like their eyes are going to be opened real wide. And I just don't know, like, I don't know. It gets me frustrated, and we'll just, like, end it there, and we'll just we'll let the universe take care of it, and it'll all,
normally does. So,
yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on Coco Caliente podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. Like, we are such big fans of y'all, and, like, I've watched y'all, and I don't know how y'all did yet, because I'm still catching up on the episodes, but on the Amazing Race.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, and I just tell Victor this, please, like, I was such a huge fan of him too. And I was like, if I can come back, I wanted, like, Victor was a comeback kid too. So,
yeah, he was. You know,
I am such a huge fan of y'all. And so we're super thankful for y'all having us.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a really fun experience. I had no idea what to expect, but it was really, really fun. And it was nice getting to talk to you.
Yeah. If you need anything from us down the line, we're more than happy to help.
And hopefully we get to, like, meet up sometime, double date maybe.
Yes. That'd be so awesome.
And if we're ever on the race together, then we will we'll build an alliance.
That'd be awesome. Oh, put in a good word for this, Nicole.
You guys would be awesome.
The help we can get, because I'm not in the best shape.
We'll definitely need some help.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Thank you, Nicole.
Bye.
Right, bye.
So
we'll do reviews.
We will do reviews. And just because, like we always say, we love you guys so much and we appreciate you guys leaving those reviews.
Hopefully you guys feel the love today.
Yeah, hopefully this episode is all about the love that we have for you guys. And if I bring my voice down a little bit, it gets a little bit more intimate. And I just want you guys to know that we really, really care about you. So Nicole, take it away.
Okay, this one's from Scorpio Queen 82. The title is, it's like drinking a warm cup of cocoa, 5 stars. This show is exactly what I needed. My commute to work is long and normally stressful. Since I found this podcast, all my stress just melts away. The chemistry Nick and Vic have is rare. They are down to earth, and I'm always sad when the episode is over. I definitely recommend this podcast and tell everyone I know to listen. From your friend in Ohio. Woo, woo.
Yay.
Midwest is the best.
Our neighbor. Yeah, yeah. Our neighbor in Ohio. That was great. Thank you. And this one is from, I don't see, Sikachu. I don't know. S-I-C-A-C-H-U. Sikachu. Maybe I'm saying it completely wrong. But a podcast I'm thankful for. 5 stars. This podcast is hilarious, real, and absolutely perfect to just calm down and listen to. It's helped me through sleepless, anxiety-filled nights and made me smile when I was sad. Nick and Vic have a great dynamic, and they're refreshing to listen to any day.
I read that one the other day, and I really liked that one.
Yeah, that was really sweet, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we really appreciate you guys. If you haven't
noticed.
Thanks
for letting us know like how much you guys love this podcast.
Yes.
Because we would never know.
And
you know?
And like I said, we have some great stuff coming up for our listeners. We'll have a giveaway here soon next week, I believe. And it's a great episode as well. So, like they all are. but anyway, you can listen to this podcast wherever you're listening to right now. You can also listen on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and you can always listen at www.cococalientepodcast.com, and you can always get our merchandise there. We appreciate you guys for supporting us. Also, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. The best way to do that is on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to follow us at Coco Caliente Pod. On Twitter and Coco Caliente Podcast on Instagram. Thank you guys so much and hope you enjoyed.